The Creation of the Heavens and the Earth, Part 6. Creatures Reproducing After Their Kind, Reverend James Lanning. According to the modern theory of evolution, certain species of organisms have evolved over time into new species. Simple species have gradually evolved into more and more complex ones. Such a teaching runs directly contrary to the biblical truth that plants and animals always reproduce after their kind. On the third day, God made different kinds of plants, all of which reproduce after their own kind. We read in Genesis 1, verse 11 through 12, "And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good. On the fifth and sixth days of creation, he made the different kinds of animals. These, too, reproduce always after their own kind. We read in Genesis 1, verse 21 and 25, "And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." The repetition here serves to emphasize that this is indeed an important truth. When considering this subject, it is good to distinguish between what Scripture refers to as a kind and what modern science refers to as a species. Scientists set up their own criteria for what constitutes a species, and sometimes they are willing to admit that they find it difficult to define the word species in a way that would apply to all naturally occurring organisms. We, however, are speaking not of what the world refers to as a species, but of what the Scriptures refer to as a kind. So instead of saying that plants and animals reproduce after their species, we say that they reproduce after their kind. This means that if two animals can reproduce, they must be of the same kind. The fact that one breed of dog, for example, can mate with another breed of dog is proof that the two dogs, though perhaps outwardly quite different, are really the same kind. Dogs never evolve into some different kind of creature. When they reproduce, the result is always another dog. Evolutionists often use subtle arguments. Some say we should not fear the theory of evolution since evolution merely means change. But evolution does not merely mean change. It means a very specific type of change, a change from one kind of plant or animal to a new one. This brings us to consider a commonly held distinction, namely that between microevolution and macroevolution. Microevolution is said to refer to change that take place within a certain kind of plant or animal. In other words, when the ratio of white moths to black moths change within a certain moth population, while microevolution is said to be a change from one kind of organism to another. Both kinds of changes are referred to as examples of evolution. Such terminology is confusing and is used by some in an effort to deceive. Many, for example, who hold to this distinction argue that microevolution is proof for macroevolution. Yet these two changes are entirely different. Indeed, there are changes that take place within a certain kind of plant or animal, but entirely different would be a change from one kind to another kind. The latter, according to Scripture, never takes place. The unchangeable God has an unchangeable purpose with each kind of plant and each kind of animal. Each kind was created by God to teach us something. Not surprisingly, then, there is never a change from one kind of creature to another. The lesson we are to learn from each kind remains the same throughout the ages.